listening to the co-production podcast brought to you by Cineuropa and Eurimage. I am Domenico Laporta and I'm the editor of Cineuropa, your number one resource for European industry content published daily in four languages. Cineuropa is supported by Creative Europe and you can always access our content for free at cineuropa.org. Today, we are discussing the co-production of My Fairy Troublemaker, directed by Caroline Origet. It is a 3D animation film co-produced by Luxembourg and Germany. I am welcoming the three co-producers of the film today. Welcome to the co-production podcast, everyone. Can I ask you to introduce yourself and your production company, starting with you, Maite? You are representing Ella Films in Germany.
My name is Maite Wokerk. My company is called Ella Film, and I'm based in Hamburg, Germany. I specialize in the production of children's film and family entertainment, and mainly animation. I just recently worked as a freelance producer for a court film and also already with Sebastian on the animation series Petronella Applewitch, which is currently being aired on ZDF in Germany. And previously, I was a producer for Ulysses Films and also worked with Mark on the first 2x2, Oops, Noah's Gone, and the Nico films, Nico and the Way to the Stars.
What about you, Mark?
My name is Mark Mertens. My company is Fabrique d'Image in Luxembourg. We do animation features, animation television series. We are the majority co-producer on My Fairy Troublemaker. We happened to work with Germany a lot last year, so we worked on Oops, Noah is Gone, the first and the second one. Internationally, those films are known as 2x2. We also co-produced Louise and the Aliens. So those are a few of the movies we worked on in the last years.
Sebastian?
My name is Sebastian Runschke. My company is Zero Animation. We are based in Ludwigsburg near Stuttgart. We have two further subsidiaries in Germany. We produce animation films. We also work in animation. We have a studio as well. Roughly around 32 people working for us at the moment in the different subsidiaries, as I said, around Germany. We worked on The Little Raven. We had three feature films and a series, which I think was about 6 years ago they started. And then those were our 2D animation movies that we worked on. Then we went into 3D animation. The Rabbit School was sort of our first 3D feature film, and currently obviously working on the My Fairy and the second Rabbit Academy film.
Maite, you can introduce us to the story of the film. We don't have to spoil too much, but it's just to give an idea of what is happening in the story.
My Fairy Troublemaker is about a little fairy, Violetta. She's 373 years old. And she is about to become a tooth fairy, but she keeps failing the tooth fairy exam because the only thing that she can conjure up is flowers, violets, actually. And at the same time, there is a girl in the human world, Maxi. She's 12 years old, and she's supposed to move with her mother into the city, away from her beautiful countryside house. And live with her boyfriend, with her mother's new boyfriend and her new two step brothers. And in the fairy world, Violetta, the fairy, doesn't accept that she failed the exam yet again, and she smuggles herself into the human world, and then by accident ends up in Maxi's bedroom and destroys her way back home to the fairy world. So then the fairy and the girl, they have to go on an adventure to find a way back home for Violetta, and also during the adventure to make a new home for Maxi in her new family and in the city.
When did the development of the film start? I mean, can you tell us a little bit about the early beginning of the film? Where did the idea come up and so forth?
That's actually a very long story. The first idea of this project came in 2009. So we already had our 10-year anniversary. And it was then developed by me in Germany at the Akademie für Kindermedien. It's Academy for Children's Media, I think, as a series, actually. And then we realized that it could also be a great feature film. And then in 2011, I developed it at EAVE, at the European Producers Workshop, into a feature film. And since we were already at that point, I think we also started the first co-production with Fabrique d'Image with 2x2. So we already started talking about the project then as a possible next project. It then took some more years until it actually went into production. But yes, that's how it started.
How much is the budget of the film?
Yeah, on a 6.7 million budget, having 500,000 extra coming in, of course, it makes a big difference. 6.7 already is quite a limited budget. If you compare it to American productions, then 6.7, it's a miracle that we can do such quality for that budget.
Did you guys fund the project with private money in terms of development, or did you apply for grants?
We had some script development grant from Germany. We also applied and received Creative Europe Media and also some development funding from the Film Fund Hamburg. And then when Fabrique d'Image came on board more seriously, we also received development money from the Film Fund Luxembourg.
For animation, I mean, that's quite a difference between animation and live action. Development it takes a huge part, and also it takes a lot of money to develop. So what kind of amounts are available in Germany and in Luxembourg when you want to develop an animation film? So how much are we talking about? Do you have an idea?
In Germany, we had around 100,000 euros, and then the Creative Europe Media was added to that. And then I think we had another 90,000 from the Film Fund Luxembourg. Yeah. So all of us put in a lot of own investment as well. So because it was also a very long development period.
So Sebastian, when did you jump on board?
I started talking with Maite about the project, I think about 3 years ago. On the Berlin Film Fest, I think was at the Hamburg reception. That's when I sort of met Maite in person, as we had worked already on another project, where she was producer or is producer. And then we kept on talking, and it was a question of sort of, obviously Fabrique d'Image was already on board at that time, and it was a question of, do we need additional producers? How are we going to fund the whole project, and where are we going to get the funding from? Sort of we kept on talking and found a good solution on how we can fund out of Germany with my studio and Serio Animation, and handed in the applications, and I think we received the last grant, I think it was about a year ago, no, 1.5 years ago was when we sort of got the okay for the last grant.
So Sebastian and I started talking because I knew I needed a studio within Germany, because I'm a production company, but I'm not an animation studio. And it was also clear that we would need more regional funding than the money from the Film Fund Hamburg. So it was, when Sebastian and I started talking, it was clear that it would be a co-production because Sebastian also applied for regional funding in his area. And actually they became the biggest regional fund within Germany for that project.
With the condition of spending on a territorial basis. So it means that you guys had to set up some production pipeline between Luxembourg and Germany. How did that work? How did you break down the work between the two countries?
Well, I think that the work split is something which was a continuous talk. I mean, it's on the one hand side, based on what sort of the studios, like we have the two studios, one being Fabrique d'Image and one being Serio Animation. It depends on what these two studios are sort of focused on, what the artists can do, what the pipeline can do. That's the one side. And the other side is obviously a question of the funding. So what funding do we get from where? And for example, in Baden-Württemberg, one of the main funders in Germany, they're very keen on having animation and funding animation. So as we are we have the animators in our studio. It was clear that we were going to do a big part of animation at Zero. And then based on the financing plan, the final financing plan and the work split, you then set up a pipeline according to what work is done in what studio. And obviously, as Fabrique d'Image being one of the main, or being the main producer and doing the rendering and lighting, they define a lot of the pipeline process that we have.
And it was an early on decision that you would go full 3D, or did you hesitate at some point to do a 2D animation film?
I think for us at Fabrique d'Image, we also do 2D animation, but the core of our studio, or the majority of our artists, are really specialized in 3D animation. And let's say we if we would have a reference, then it's rather the classical examples that would come up. It could be like a Pixar is always an inspiration, or a DreamWorks movie. It's not that we're playing in the same league, unfortunately, but those are really references that would come up.
So when you say you're not playing in the same league, is it just a budget question, or would you say that also in terms of artistic development or maybe a storytelling, there are different levels?
I think that it's really a question of budget. I think we have the potential in-house, or we can find the right collaborators or the writing talent. It's really a question of budget, and budget buys you time. And I think the big difference between European animation and the American animation movies is that they have a lot more time, and they can do development, and they can throw it away if it's not, if they don't consider it to be perfect, and they start over. Whilst for us, since we need to find the funding to do the development, and even if we have access to different funds, we still have to pay a lot with own monies as well. So we are limited in what we can pay for that development, and that makes for me a big difference.
Are there any TV channels involved in the financing?
We didn't have any. We in Germany we sold the TV rights to Telepool. And they're also our world sales agent and the German distributor. So they basically have the rights package.
It means that it's quite competitive to release a film like that in the current market, where there are big blockbuster animation films coming out. Basically, all the slots are taken by them. How did you think about the distribution plan? Is it a special strategy that you have in mind? How did you think about that yet?
The film is scheduled to be delivered in June 2022, so we still have a lot of time. But we are already working on the marketing material together with the distributor and the world sales agent. We are thinking about can we maybe produce little spots that we can put on social media, or what will the merchandising look like? So this is something that we already think about from the beginning. And in general, animation feature films travel really well. So German animation feature films, I know only the German figures. German films just released a big press release that I think over 50% of the box office that German films make outside of Germany is made by animation feature films. And it's usually around 7 or 10% of all films that are being sold that are animation feature films. So it's really, they're doing really well internationally.
And you guys applied to Eurimage and got supported for that project. Can you tell us how much you got?
€500,000. And we applied in January 2020. And then it was supposed to be in the jury meeting in March 2020, which then, of course, didn't happen because it was right when COVID started. And so we had to wait, I think, for another 3 months. to get the decision. But yeah, since we received the maximum amount, it was really worth the wait. And we were, yeah, really happy.
What's the gap, 500,000 when you applied, or the financing was already complete and you just had that money left to finance?
Yeah, we had completely financed all the money in Luxembourg and in Germany before. Yes. So that was the only thing that was open. Yes.
And what difference did that money make?
We had a scenario where we could work without it, but we were really happy when we received it because we could really up the quality of everything. I mean, we were able to spend more money on animation. Also, I don't know, maybe Sebastian, you can say a little bit exactly where it ended up in the budget.
Yeah, I think that the final look of the film, so the really how the film's going to look like, that definitely made a big impact there. And as you already said, Maite, the animation quality is obviously is a big issue. How much time can you spend on animation? And with this money, obviously, we could make sure that the animation is going to be the best possible. And I think that you will see a big difference sort of when you look at it on screen, or you could see a big difference, put it this way, because if you don't have enough time to spend on, for example, animation, you just have to rush through and then you have to just keep what you've got. And I think that makes a big difference there.
Mark, you are also a director. You also directed animation films. How does that work? Because it seems that at this stage, the director has not so much to say anymore because everything is set. The camera angles, the models, all that, the set design, I mean, everything is already decided. So how do you work with Caroline, the director, at this stage?
Well, I think it goes through different phases there also. In the beginning, there's more to decide as to storyboarding and then the animatic. Those are the really crucial phases where once that is approved, then the whole production really starts. It does not mean that the role of the director is diminishing, because she's still the one following up on all the creative decisions that continue to be necessary, or on the execution of those decisions. So I would say she's really like the caretaker of the whole project. So she stays on until the very end of the project.
Okay, great. So what is the status of the film now in terms of completion?
We are in the middle of animation right now. So sort of in the animation production, you always have some team working already like in animation, while others are still doing modeling. So you work more on a sequence or shot-based production setup. And right now, as I say, we're in the middle of animation, sort of ramping up. I think that in about 2-3 months, we'll have everybody working in animation. I think by the end of the year, we would most probably be through with the animation sometime September, October, I guess, is sort of when we completed the animation.
I think on our side, in a month or two, we're going to start lighting, I think. And then, like Sebastian said, you have always teams. The teams work on different phases in parallel.
Let's speak just a little bit about COVID. How did the pandemic affected the production of the film? I guess it's less important than what's happening on a live shooting.
When sort of the pandemic struck in the very beginning, nobody really knew on how to handle things. It's like how do you get the distance? How do you take care of everything? How do you take care of the team? And what we experienced was quite a significant delay. We had like the work took longer. What I can say right now, we moved a lot of people in our studio. We moved a lot of the artists to home office. And what happened in that, while we did that, was that we experienced roughly a 25-30% overhead on top of the work that was supposed to be done due to communications, due to sort of setting up meetings and not quickly walking over to your colleague to discuss things. So that is something which sort of had an impact, which I figure around 25-30%. And then as the pandemic kept on going, or as it sort of rolled out, we sort of experienced that it became more difficult to work between the studios. So it's like you have to sort of align and sync during production the different work steps. And then obviously as each studio had to handle the things or had to handle social distancing sort of in a different way, it suddenly became difficult to sync the two studios. And that's why we had a delay for, I would say, about 2 to 3 months, which sort of obviously impacted on the overall schedule as well. But we figured out, I think, a pretty good way on how to get back on track now. And I think over the last couple of months, you could see that everybody's now dealing with the situation. Everybody gets used to working from home. But what I do experience in our studio is that certain work steps, as I've explained in previous, we have like different like work shares in production. Certain work steps can't sort of be shifted to home office that easily. Like at the moment, we are in the middle of producing the animation. So we have animators doing animation, and sitting at home and doing animation on sort of our pipeline is not so super easy. It's something which, as you need live feedback, you need to see how your characters move, like in real, like live feedback loops. That is something which I think that we experience in a home office environment is not the best sort of scenario for working.
Okay, so we are at the end of it. Thank you very much for accepting this invitation. I know it's a lot of work, so I will wish you a lot of luck and a lot of courage to finish the film. And remind us again when we can expect the film in theaters.
Well, in theaters, I don't know, but we will deliver the film in June 2022 to the World Sales Agent and the distributors, and probably by the end of 22. We will see it in the movie theaters. It's already actually sold into over 20 countries.
That's great. It means a lot of people will get to see it. So the film is My Fairy Troublemaker. We had Sebastian, Maite, and Mark talking about it. This is the third episode of the Co-Production Podcast. Stay tuned for more. Thank you, guys, and good luck.